Hello, this is Janice, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading from the January 6th issue of the Olean Times Herald on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Langworthy lauds Maduro capture. New York Democrats want answers by Jim Ekstrom. U.S. Rep. Nick Langworthy said the capture of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela is a step toward dismantling the narco-terror networks in South and Central America. While a potential opponent of the congressman in this year's election said condemning Maduro does not give the United States a blank check for military escalation. Langworthy, Republican, 23rd District, reacted to the news over the weekend that U.S. military personnel conducted an operation to sweep up Maduro and his wife. Said Maduro's regime has fueled violence, corruption, and the flow of illegal drugs into the United States. Maduro is not merely an authoritarian figure. He is a murderous criminal who has overseen the repression, imprisonment, and killing of his own people, Langworthy stated. He noted that on March 26, 2020, the U.S. Department of Justice formally indicted Maduro on charges of narco-terrorism, drug trafficking, and corruption. This outcome is the result of decisive action by President Donald Trump, who has made clear that the United States will confront criminal regimes that threaten our security and destabilize our region, Langworthy said. This is what peace through strength looks like, clear resolved, backed by action. But Aaron Guise of Olean, a Democrat who was seeking the nomination to challenge Langworthy in Western New York's 23rd District, said the operation conducted in Venezuela gives every American cause for concern. Nicolas Maduro is an illegitimate ruler who has ignored the results of fair elections and governed through repression and fear, Guy stated after news of the overnight operation unfolded Saturday. It is right that America should seek to bring him to justice, as it did former Honduran President Juan Hernandez, a convicted narco-terrorist pardoned by President Trump. But Guy's also noted that Venezuela is a nation of more than 28 million people, with a courageous democratic opposition. Reckless intervention risks plunging the country into civil war and inflicting immense suffering on innocent civilians. Guise expressed wariness of Trump's claim that the United States should run Venezuela with the help of American oil companies, and did not rule out the deployment of U.S. ground troops. The Democrat, who is a professor of theology at St. Bonaventure University, said such statements amount to an assertion of control over a sovereign nation, not a law enforcement action. Our experience in Iraq and Afghanistan has taught us that regime change wars launched without clear goals or legal authority become long, expensive, and dangerous, with final outcomes that do not justify their cost. Langworthy said the message to dictators, terrorists, and transnational criminal organizations is unmistakable. There is no safe harbor for those who seek to harm the United States or the American people. Nicolas Maduro was never a legitimate leader. He was the head of a criminal cartel masquerading as a government. The congressman noted that in the past, when narco states threaten regional stability and American security, the United States has acted. He pointed to President George H.W. Bush's decision to remove Manuel Noriega of Panama. With Maduro now facing justice, the Venezuelan people have a real opportunity to move toward a more stable democratic future, Langworthy said. Maduro declared himself the president of my country as he protested his capture and pleaded not guilty on Monday to federal drug trafficking charges, the Associated Press reported. I was captured, Maduro said in Spanish, as translated by a Manhattan courtroom reporter, before being cut off by the judge. Asked later for his plea to the charges, he stated, I am innocent, I am not guilty, I am a decent man, the president of my country. The courtroom appearance, Maduro's first since he and his wife, Celia Flores, were seized from their home in the middle of the night operation, opens the U.S. government's prosecution. The couple was transported to the Manhattan courthouse under armed guard early Monday from the Brooklyn jail, where they've been detained since arriving in the U.S. on Saturday. U.S. Senator Kristen Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, called Maduro a thuggish dictator who abused his power, his people, and refused to accept the results of elections, and that no one disputes he should face justice. But the Constitution and international law are not optional, she stated. The administration must justify these actions to my fellow members of the Senate Armed Service Committee and explain to the American people how this was a justified act of war against a foreign country. Gillibrand also stated that despite its assertions to the contrary, the Trump administration also must explain why it carried out the military operation to perform regime change without authorization by Congress, and how the U.S. is going to run Venezuela without putting service members at risk. Beyond this flagrant breach of trust, I remain concerned that the administration's actions are not the end of something, but the beginning of chaos and instability in the region that threatens our service members, our allies, and American security. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, said on social media that Trump's takeover of Venezuela should worry Americans. The idea that Trump plans to now run Venezuela should strike fear in the hearts of all Americans, he said. The American people have seen this before and paid the devastating price. What's cool in school? OHS students support Genesis House with 32nd annual Homeless Huskies event by Olean Times Herald staff. Olean, the compassion, leadership, and commitment by Olean High School students to helping neighbors in need reflected the spirit of the community this holiday season. In November, Genesis House of Olean welcomed members of the Olean Student Activities Council, who delivered a generous donation collected through the 32nd annual Homeless Huskies event. School district officials reported over 190 students participated in the event, which raised over $19,000 for local charities. Homeless Huskies is a long-standing tradition at Olean High School dating back to the early 1990s, when it was founded by Student Activities Council President Pierre Aide. The event was created to raise both awareness and funds for local organizations supporting people experiencing homelessness. Each year, students brave an overnight stay outside on the front lawn of the high school. Often in cardboard boxes, they decorate themselves to gain insight into the challenges faced by individuals without stable housing, while also fundraising through sponsorships and donations. Over the decades, the event has grown to engage hundreds of students, staff, and community members, providing significant support for partners such as Genesis House and other community organizations. For students, it has become a meaningful rite of passage that emphasizes empathy, service, and civic responsibility. Genesis House officials extend their sincere gratitude to the Student Activities Council, their advisors, and the entire Olean City School District community for continuing this important tradition and for their dedication to making a difference in the lives of those they serve. A Warm, Wet Week Ahead for the Olean Area by Brian McLellan. The area will be getting a brief break from wintry weather as temperatures are expected to be unseasonably warm for much of the week, a so-called January thaw. The warmer temperatures combined with expected rainfall will likely eliminate any accumulated snow for the time being. The most noticeable thing this week will be the warm-up, having at least 3 days well above 40 degrees. It will put a damper on as far as winter goes with the snowpack melting, said Dave Thomas, a meteorologist at the Buffalo office of the National Weather Service. Areas in the woods and higher elevations will probably hold on to a little bit of their snowpack, but lower elevations and right there in town in Olean will have all the snow washed away temporarily until the next wintry system arrives, he said. A fast-moving clipper system will move through the area Tuesday, bringing some rain and a high temperature near 40. As temperatures dip near freezing Tuesday night, the rain could change over to some wet snow. Most of the weather for the rest of the work week will be defined by a system moving into the area from the southwest, bringing warmer air and some moisture. Wednesday will be overcast with a high in the upper 30s. Thursday will be partly cloudy and warmer with a high in the mid-40s. It will be even warmer on Friday. We're looking for highs in the lower 50s, Thomas said. Unfortunately, it's also going to bring with a period of rain starting later Thursday night and through the day on Friday. The rain combined with snow melt is likely to elevate water levels in local streams and creeks, but the NWS does not currently anticipate any flooding. Looking ahead to the coming weekend, the warmer temperatures will continue into Saturday, which is expected to be cloudy with steady light rain in the morning and a high around 50. A strong cold front will come through later Saturday afternoon, bringing temperatures down to near freezing and changing the rain over to light accumulating snow. Not anything significant as far as snowfall accumulation, but maybe enough to turn that green grass back to a shade of white, Thomas said. Sunday will be cloudy and colder, with morning snow showers and a high in the low 30s. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Olean Times Herald on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. U.S. cuts the number of vaccines recommended for every child, a move slammed by physicians, by Allie Svensson. Washington. The U.S. took the unprecedented step Monday of cutting the number of vaccines it recommends for every child, a move that leading medical groups said would undermine protections against a half dozen diseases. The change is effective immediately, meaning that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will now recommend that all children get vaccinated against 11 diseases. What's no longer broadly recommended is protection against flu, rotavirus, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, some forms of meningitis, or RSV. Instead, protections against those diseases are only recommended for certain groups deemed high risk, or when doctors recommend them in what's called shared decision making. Trump administration officials said the overhaul, a move long sought by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., won't result in families who want the vaccine losing access to them, and said insurance will continue to pay. But medical experts said the decision creates confusion for parents and could increase preventable diseases. States, not the federal government, have the authority to require vaccinations for school children. While CDC requirements often influence those state regulations, some states have begun creating their own alliances to counter the Trump administration's guidance on vaccines. The change comes as U.S. vaccine rates have been slipping, and the share of children with exemptions has reached an all-time high, according to federal data. At the same time, rates of diseases that can be protected against with vaccines, such as measles and whooping cough, are rising across the country. Review came at the request of President Trump. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said the overhaul was in response to a request from President Donald Trump in December. Trump asked the agency to review how peer nations approach vaccine recommendations and consider revising U.S. guidance accordingly. HHS said its comparison to 20 peer nations found that the U.S. was an outlier in both the number of vaccines and the number of doses it recommended to all children. Officials with the agency framed the change as a way to increase public trust by recommending only the most important vaccinations for children to receive. This decision protects children, respects family, and rebuilds trust in public health, Kennedy said in a statement Monday. Trump, reacting to the news on his Truth Social platform, said the new schedule is far more reasonable and finally aligns the United States with other developed nations around the world. Among those left on the recommended for everyone list are vaccines against measles, whooping cough, polio, tetanus, chickenpox, and human papillomavirus, or HPV. The guidance reduces the number of recommended vaccine doses against HPV from 2 or 3 shots, depending on age, to 1 for most children. Medical experts said Monday's changes, without what they said was public discussion or a transparent review of the data, would put children at risk. Abandoning recommendations for vaccines that prevent influenza, hepatitis, and rotavirus, and changing the recommendation for HPV without a public process to weigh the risks and benefits will lead to more hospitalizations and preventable deaths among American children, said Michael Osterholm of the Vaccine Integrity Project, based at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Sean O'Leary of the American Academy of Pediatrics said countries carefully consider vaccine recommendations based on levels of disease in their populations and their health systems. You can't just copy and paste public health, and that's what they seem to be doing here, said O'Leary. Literally, children's health and children's lives are at stake. Most high-income countries recommend vaccination against a dozen to 15 serious pathogens, according to a recent review by the Vaccine Integrity Project, a group that works to safeguard vaccine use. France Today recommends all children get vaccines against 14 diseases, compared to the 11 that the U.S. now will recommend for every child under the new schedule. Doctors' groups criticized the decision. The changes were made by political appointees without any evidence that the current recommendations were harming children, O'Leary said. The pediatricians group has issued its own childhood vaccine schedule that its members are following, and it continues to broadly recommend vaccines that the Trump administration demoted. O'Leary singled out the flu vaccine, which the government and leading medical experts have long urged for nearly everyone, starting at age 6 months. He said the government is pretty tone deaf for ending its recommendation while the country is at the beginning of a severe flu season. And after 280 children died from flu last winter, the most since 2009. Even a disease that parents may not have heard of, rotavirus, could come roaring back if vaccination erodes, he added. That diarrheal disease once hospitalized thousands of children each winter, something that no longer happens. The decision was made without input from an advisory committee that typically consults on the vaccine schedule, said senior officials at HHC. The officials spoke on the condition of anonymity because they weren't authorized to discuss the changes publicly. The officials added that the new recommendations were a collaborative effort between federal health agencies, but wouldn't specify who was consulted. Bills visit Jacksonville seeking to ease past playoff shortcomings, by John Warrow, AP sports writer, Orchard Park. Josh Allen got his much-needed rest while still extending his starting streak to 135 consecutive games with an opening play handoff. James Cook got his NFL rushing title, becoming Buffalo's first player to do so since O.J. Simpson in 1976. And the Bills produced a fitting send-off, playing what's likely their final game at the 53-year-old Highmark Stadium on Sunday, before moving into their new digs across the street next season. Now comes the hard part, the playoffs. Whatever warm feelings the Bills got by having fans serenade them off the field following a 35-8 thumping of the Jets must be put aside with sixth-seeded Buffalo, 12-5, traveling to play AFC South champion Jacksonville, 13-4, in the wild card round on Sunday. The outing presents a new challenge for Allen and the Bills in opening the playoffs on the road for the first time since 2019. That's when Allen, in his second NFL season, made his playoff debut in a 22-19 overtime loss to Houston. Though much has changed since for a player and team that would go on to win five straight AFC East titles, several similar questions remain. For all of Allen's remarkable exploits, the NFL's reigning MVP is still missing one. Major career checkmark, a Super Bowl appearance. The same goes for coach Sean McDermott. In his ninth season at the helm, McDermott deserves plenty of credit for transforming the franchise into a perennial contender. After going 17 seasons without a playoff berth, Buffalo finally broke through in McDermott's first year, ending with a 10-3 loss in the 2017 wildcard round at Jacksonville. And yet, McDermott carries the stigma of a coach who can lead his team only so far. A criticism mentor Andy Reid faced in Philadelphia before finally winning three times in Kansas City. In the Bills' favor is an AFC field that doesn't include familiar nemesis Kansas City, which has eliminated Buffalo in four of the previous five playoffs. Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who eliminated the Bills 3 years ago, are out too. Buffalo has held its own in going 3-3 against this year's playoff teams, with the three losses decided by a combined 8 points, including a 23-19 loss at Houston in November. At issue is having to hit the road, where the Bills are 0-4 in the postseason under McDermott. Including two Super Bowl appearances, Buffalo has lost its last 9 playoff outings outside of Orchard Park, New York, since a 29-10 win in Miami and the 1992 AFC Championship game. You have been listening to a reading of articles and features from the January 8th issue of the Olean Times Herald. Your reader has been Janice. Thank you for listening.